Vendor Radio is on now.
Hello there, welcome to Infendo Radio, this is episode 341. I am going to be your host, Colin Crompton, and joining me on this imminent train wreck is Lewis Pugh.
Hello everyone.
And Harrison Bielfeld.
I'm really feeling it now. You forgot our tagline.
Oh, I didn't say a word.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
No. We can keep going. It's the best moment in Colin Crompton's first day as host as a Findo Radio.
Well, there you go. Okay. Right. So we're gonna go with that.
The show must go on, even without Holly.
Should I just say it now? We can sort of snip it in.
It's the best Nintendo podcast on the English speaking internet.
We could just use that, but no, the best.
For everybody out there, we are the best Nintendo podcast on the speaking internet.
We have no doubts about our professionalism.
Hey, it's a long show. We got to get through it. Okay, so yes, it is the best English speaking internet. No, the best English. No, the best Nintendo podcast on the English speaking internet.
There we go.
Yeah.
It's just derailed already. Okay.
You did warn him, to be fair.
To be fair, yeah. So, yeah, we have a relatively simple two-part structure. But the first part is really just me. And I'm going to talk about the Monster Hunter demo. Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, there was demo codes sent out from Nintendo of Europe and Nintendo of America, obviously. And I played it, and it is fantastic, as a demo goes.
Quick question before we get any further here. So were you one of the lucky few who got an email from Nintendo, or did someone else get an email?
No, I've got an email. I've got an email and an extra three codes to give out.
I was going to say, so my second question was going to be, is I haven't been contacted about this glorious set of codes you have.
To be fair, I was like, well, I assumed that it wasn't something, because as soon as I mentioned the fact that I've got codes, I got harassed by a bunch of people. But
harassed for Monster Hunter 4 codes?
Yeah. It was the messaging on Miiverse got pretty packed. But I have a spare code.
I was just trolling. I missed the announcement, but. Although I missed the email, thankfully a friend of mine got a set of codes, and so I have played the demo as well. Okay. So I haven't been left out.
But the demo basically boils down to, it is very similar to the Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate demo, but it's definitely a lot better, because, I mean, the Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate demo, you pick a monster, you pick a weapon type, and then the game just sort of goes off you go, without anything at all, and you just running, you get killed. Whereas in this demo, there's two difficulty settings for starts. So there's beginner or experienced. Now, if you choose beginner, your character's powered up and the game sort of takes you through the ropes a bit more and about the process of actually hunting these monsters. It's straight away, it's more of a, it's not such a steep, learning curve. Rather than, the actual demo of the previous game was kind of had a real high entry point. But, the demo itself, I mean, it's not too bad. It's there's only three monsters you can fight. A really pathetic low-level one, a sort of intermediate giant frog, which is nice. And the actual main monster from the original version of Monster Hunter 4, Gormagala, which is... that's a tough battle to do. But the game is impressive. I mean, it runs smoothly. It's very colourful. And it just gets you pumped for the main game. And that's what any good demo should do. So, looking forward to that.
I've said in previous podcasts that I never really got hooked onto the Monster Hunter series. I remember, obviously, you know, we didn't get two here in the States, you know, and it wasn't until Capcom actually saw through its success in Japan that Nintendo was able to bring this more of these games over here to the States and, you know, even Europe, for instance.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's an interesting approach to see Capcom actually, you know, giving thought, whatever, Nintendo actually bring this, still this series back and well and live right now, even though it does have an audience. Maybe not widespread, but it certainly has a group of people that actually do care about it. And, no, I have to ask you, like, are you, do you originally have a 3DS Circle Pad Pro?
No, I don't have a 3DS Circle Pad Pro.
That's actually quite surprising.
Is it? I mean, well...
Given your addiction to the series,
yeah. Yeah, I played on PSP, and I'm used to the one-stick control method, which cripples your hands. But, yeah, so, I mean, it's... people, the game, there's certain mechanics they've introduced in 3 on 3DS that alleviates that problem, like the target camera. You can now lock onto the monsters and just click the L button, and the camera points in the right direction, which is useful, you know. You don't have to stop, turn camera, run, stop, turn camera anymore. So it's a lot more fluid. But the game plays perfectly fine without the Circle Pad Pro. I mean, it's... They've worked out a lot of little ways to get around that kind of problem.
Yeah, I also find that touchscreen D-pad, although it sounds awful, is actually not that bad of a replacement for a second stick.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's what I end up using the most. Yeah.
When I see your touchscreen D-pad, I'm just reminded of like touchscreen controls on mobile phones right now.
Exactly. I'm having it sounds terrible because. At least how I play it, you only necessarily kind of need to nudge the camera around when you're running, like, past something. So you can just, like, take your thumb off the buttons, as it were, and just kind of tap this virtual D-pad, and it is, like, a big D-pad. It, like, takes up most, like, half the screen. And so it's relatively easy just to, you know, to tap right on that a few times to shift the camera around and go back to what you were doing.
And it's super responsive, too.
Yeah.
It feels... like you are, you know, touching a second D-pad. So, I mean, yeah, it works wonders. But, yeah, so, I mean, that's the Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate demo. It's really good. It's really good. But let's move on now to our main feature, the big Nintendo Direct that happened, you know, over the past week. And a lot of good news came out of it. So we're going to start off with the 3DS news. First off, straight away, new 3DS. It's got a release date now, February 13th.
Well, we may need to make a distinction for part of our audience here, or probably most of our audience, which is the new 3DS XL is being released on February 13th in America.
We are not getting the smaller one, which has, you know, interchangeable faceplates and actually makes it feel like a portable. But then again, I've enjoyed my 3DS XL, or not my 3D, yeah, my 3DS XL since I got it 2 years ago.
Yeah, I've always preferred the larger handhelds. I mean, it's even the DSi XL came out, and I grabbed that straight away. Because I play portables in a strange way now. I don't actually play them on the go. I usually sit in a chair at home and, you know, tinker through it. So, I mean, yeah, to me, that's great. I mean, because Europe is getting the standard 3DS.
We're getting a choice of both of those.
So it's I find that it's a strange decision to make. That
it's because us Americans have big hands.
Well, that may be the case. But yeah, so are we all going to upgrade?
I'm tempted right now. I really am, just based on this, but because GameStop has mentioned a couple of its trade-ins, I think it's like. $50 or $70 for an original 3DS trade-in towards a new 3DS, or $100 for an XL, which I own, just towards that as well. Yeah. But
do you know how the trade-in works? As in, like, do you get to, I assume, transfer your stuff over beforehand, or do you have to give over your system before you get the new system?
See, that's one thing I've been trying to figure out. Whatever, during that, it's like. How do you go about, you know, transferring your system? It's like, do I get it and then I have to go home and then have to you know, like, do I have to give collateral to GameStop, whatever? It's like, here's my car keys. Here you go. I'll be back in about 3 hours and transfer all this
stuff. Yeah, because I'm always worried, like, these programs are, like, being put together by people who have never played for 3DS. and so I reckon that the system could be just how it has been traditionally. Like, you hand over your system, they check it's working, and they'll give you credit towards your purchase, which is not going to work with a 3DS with a account tied to the system.
Maybe, I don't know, is there a possible way that you buy, like, okay, the way a transfer system goes for something like this is you buy, like, do the transfer tool on the 3DS, you have a SD card, and you somehow, whatever, implant that, whatever, into that new SD card that you're going to do, and then you just trade in your 3DS since it's all in one SD card, and then you just put that one in there. Yeah. And the new one. I don't know. It's something that Nintendo needs to outline a little bit more, because I really don't want to go to the point where I'm losing all my data into a lot of my games. And the thing is, it's just this new handle is enticing. It really is. And knowing that there are going to be certain games on there that are going to be exclusive just to that because of its faster processing power.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting. I mean, it'd be great if it still took the traditional, you know, SD card, because you just take that out of the system and put it in the new one.
Which brings us to the argument that Nintendo needs to have a unified system account.
Yeah, exactly. It's something that they should have had now for a while, but who knows?
Yeah,
who knows?
Definitely be nice. I mean, I'm pretty much definitely getting one. I'm still not 100% sure which version I'll choose over here. I'm leaning more towards a smaller one, but I'm wondering if I'll miss the larger screen.
You lean towards a small one just for the interchangeable faceplates?
Well, not just that. I mean, there have been times in my XL when I've been thinking it is quite big when just travelling around with it. Like, if, because I don't like to take a bag with me necessarily, so it usually gets shoved in a pocket. And with the XL, depending on what you're wearing, that can be more of a squeeze or not. And I'm worried, like crushing my system here, or.
Is that a 3DS XL in your pocket? No, I understand what you're saying, Lewis. You're kind of want to go into more of the smaller 3DS just because it just feels more like a portable.
Yeah, and the other thing is, because they are the same resolution screens, I mean, in theory, you're getting a sharper image on the smaller one. It's just, have I got so accustomed to the larger screens that it will feel, you know, too small?
I think I'd have to get an XL just because the buttons are slightly larger.
Oh, is that true?
I think so.
I wasn't 100% sure.
Because that's the case with the traditional XL towards the standard 3DS.
I have to double check that, yeah. The other thing is, although it is only a small difference, you do get a bigger battery out of the XL.
That's true.
Which I do think is weird, because it is obviously powering bigger screens and all that. But apparently get on average an hour extra battery on it, so something to consider as well.
That is an incentive on there as well. And one thing, when I bought my XL, I hardly play any of my games in 3D at all. But the fact that it actually has this motion, this camera in there will sense your movement basically of where the 3D is. So, because when you played with an original 3DS, you had to hold that and just stare. It's basically like one of those. It's like one of those like baseball cards you have, like with a holographic that you just kind of have to look and you just move a little bit and has that little 3D effect to it, which is basically kind of what the technology you see behind the 3DS is, like 3D technology. But this one, this is just something they're trying. I feel like, are they trying to bring back that gimmick to it, or are they just trying to make sure it's not a throwaway?
I mean, the 3D effect's never been the reason why I bought a 3DS. I mean, I bought a 3DS because it's the new handheld, I've owned them all. So, yeah, the 3D's always been a bit of a gimmick that I've just never used. I still haven't. I mean, I've got great depth perception anyway, so it's a mute point for me.
Well, I almost had, like, the opposite reaction, because I was, like, upon hearing the news about the 3DS, it's like, glasses free 3D. I mean, that was surprisingly forward thinking for Nintendo at the time, on like a pure tech perspective, and I was quite excited for that. And when I got to demo a 3DS from a local game store here, it really impressed me. It thoroughly did. I hadn't seen anything quite like it. And obviously, having played with my own system for a little bit after then, that kind of effect wore off dramatically. From just being incredibly impressed at there's real depth behind the screen, to just being really used to it. So yeah, I'm hoping the new 3DS is kind of new 3D. Does it say that phrase?
That technical term.
Terrible phrase there. I hope that kind of makes it a bit more impressive again, now that it's kind of become like a standard to players. And I'm hoping I'll actually start using it more, because I found the longer I've had my system, the less I'm using it in 3D. Despite liking the feature, it just gets a bit tiresome. So if it alleviates that problem, I think that's going to be worth the upgrade in its own.
Yeah. So
now we do know that, I'm not sure this is true for Europe, but I know here in America, is that the 3DS XLs, they do not come with an AC adapter.
That's quite funny, actually, because on our side, we haven't had AC adapters, I don't believe, since the DSi.
That's true, yeah. We've always had to buy one separately, and it's just baffling.
So when you trade them in, that's the thing I'm trying to figure out, whatever, is if I trade in my 3DS, why did I give them my AC adapter?
Yeah, it's a weird thing. It shouldn't work, because, I mean, if they use a non-proprietary charger, if they use micro USB or whatever, fine. Yeah. But yeah, you're 100% right, Harrison. If you're going to buy a new system, in theory, you're doing something else with your other system. Either you're giving it to someone, you're selling it, or whatever. But then you need another charger, and so you're stuck with going out and buying a charger. So the only benefit I can see from this whole thing is that you can optionally buy your 3DS for the price difference of a charger. And so the reasoning being, if they do include the charger, then it's $10 or £10 more expensive than the box, and they thought that makes it look better on the shelf for the people who do have a charger already. But it's a weird one. I mean, I think we'd all prefer it just to be in the box.
Yeah,
I mean it's a weird situation. Look at the Majora's Mask Special Edition for the new 3DS. It's when that was announced, obviously in this direct, we'll talk more about Majora's Mask going on. I was a little shocked to realize it doesn't include Majora's Mask.
Highlighting the difference here between the American and European SKUs, ours does come with the game, but then again, I assume ours is, that bit more expensive to a customer. Yeah. That. But yeah, our bundle does have the game pre-installed.
Pre-installed, yeah. It's always pre-installed. They don't do... They never give out a game cartridge anymore, do they?
Yeah. It's a good cost-saving measure for them, yeah, so I'm surprised they leave it out the box, as it were, on the American version. How much does it cost them to pre-install it?
That's true. But yeah, so moving on, we now have news of a new Fire Emblem game. Yes. Who would have thought it?
Yes, I know, given how the creators in Intelligent Systems said...
Yep.
Awakening. They said Awakening was going to be the last game in the series if it didn't sell well. Thank God it sold well.
News just in. Fire Emblem Awakening sold well.
Side note. Please tell me I was not the only one when I saw the trailer for the new Fire Emblem on there end. It said in the latest in the Fire Emblem series. I thought it read the last in the Fire Emblem series, and I got really worried, and I had to do a double take. I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a shock to me, because I assumed that Intelligent Systems were busy making Project Steam, but clearly they've had another team working on this game for a while now. But yeah, I'm excited for new Fire Emblem. I mean, how can you not be? The last one was fantastic.
Yeah, looking at the transitions from when you're moving your units, it's obviously a little different. It goes into more of a 360, the transitions go not basically just kind of a quick wipe transition. It's more of a folds into basically the battle and just does a 360 into the battle. So it just kind of transitions from that 2D into that 3D world seamlessly.
Yeah.
That's one thing I kind of really liked about it.
Yeah.
And I saw that the cinematics from Awakening are returning in there as well. But also, I think Iowata mentioned this during his direct, that I can't even think of the guy's name, but a famed anime animator.
I know who you mean, and yeah, he's writing the plot for this.
Oh, he's writing the plot. I thought he was doing the animations, but yeah, they're doing the same. But yeah, this is. I'm glad that's returning there. That's one of the things I loved about Awakening and how it progressed the story a little bit more.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see see how this, like the story or just the game in general, feels different. With like at least the push that they've got someone outside of the company essentially writing the story for them. Yeah. So I'm wondering if it may feel like again, we'll talk about later, like more of like a Majora's Mask to a Ocarina of Time type difference from Awakening, getting like some fresh blood and essentially to, as a story writer, writing a story. Like, I imagine it, hopefully it's going to be something completely different to the, you know, Kill the Evil Dragon type plot Fire Emblem normally goes down.
Yeah, it's always like an evil witch or an evil god or everybody's evil. But yeah, so moving on, Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate finally got a release date, which is nice. Plus, there's going to be a special edition 3DS that comes with it.
That one's releasing in February as well, alongside with the new 3DS, right?
Yep, that's right. Yeah. Same day, February 13th. So
I think, I mean, well, obviously, we'll talk about another release which comes out on this very same date. Is do we think this is why the new 3DS didn't come out till this date in particular? Because they're lining up, although none of them are exclusive, but a couple of games, or actually technically more than a couple of games, which can take advantage of it on the same day.
It definitely. I mean, there's obviously they try to have as many games out there to, you know, incentivize people to, oh, it plays better on this system.
Yeah.
And so that'll hook people and you go, oh, okay, yeah, well, I'll get a new system then. And it's going to shift on the units. It really will.
Not only that, I think it will highlight these games as well. I think these games will sell better because of the new 3DS launching alongside it. Because it grabs people's attention. Obviously, to a new console, or at least a new iteration for a console, that sparks lots of news stories, which, say, Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate on its own may not. Hopefully there are some people who buy the new system wanting to get a game, take advantage of it, not played Monster Hunter series before, but have heard some good things about it, may take this opportunity to jump in.
I'm certainly excited for it. I don't know that much. It's been a long time coming, I think, of that release date.
Because wasn't this the first announced about 2 years ago?
Yeah. It was announced a long time ago. And
Edging there on vaporware.
it was. But, that's that. Moving on, we have Xenoblade Chronicles 3D. Has a release window revealed. It's now due sometime in April, which is pretty close. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Is this more for Japan or Europe, or because that's the thing I didn't really get from the American Direct.
No, I talked about this. All information has come from the American Direct, so it's coming to North America sometime in April.
I didn't realize that Monster Games was handling the porting for this.
Yeah, no, neither did I, and that's great. I mean, that's because I did.
I think this is the game that will probably entice me to actually buy a new 3DS, since it's only compatible with that CPU power of this new handheld.
I was concerned about that, because it doesn't mean that... What's to stop you putting that cartridge into a standard 3DS XL?
Bad packaging.
Possibly.
Bad packaging. It's like, do not put this. It's the words on there. I mean, not only knowing that, just like, yeah, new 3DS and that Amiibo font is going to keep me away from
you seen the new 3DS kind of covers, which distinguish themselves from 3DS games? They've taken the 3DS name, which goes down like the left hand side vertically. And they've done it at the top horizontally.
I'm not sure there's any distinction, like, you know.
Yeah, but you know people are going to be confused by that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm not sure what else they could really do with it. I mean, they've actually changed the place where the logo is. Obviously, it is the new logo. Not that it's dramatically different. but it the box does look different to the other boxes. It does stand out like something's odd here. What's going on with this box in particular? And so hopefully that's enough for them to then read this.
It said it was new. Yeah. Why won't?
But yeah, so again, that's gonna be exciting because I played a little Xenoblade Chronicles on the Wii, but I didn't actually get that far into it. So
Harrison, what's your situation with Xenoblade Chronicles? Have you played before?
I played at a friend's house when he owned it, and I got a little bit into it, enjoyed the combat system, and then his Wii broke. So and then he moved to California, and then I was like, oh well, I'll see if I can buy it online. I was like, oh, it's $100. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
But I'll talk about another game that was like going really high on the eBay market that I'm glad to actually be playing a little later on.
Yeah, could be relevant. But now I can say I did complete Chronicles on the Wii, and it's a fantastic game. Probably my favorite RPG ever.
Wow.
It was one of those RPGs that actually made... kind of helped revive the JRPG genre almost, because
I'm trying to think of other like decent JRPGs I actually played last generation. Not a huge amount comes to the memory apart from Xenoblade Chronicles.
It's one of those I mean, it really did help give the Wii a bit of a boost because it became right towards the end.
That's the problem. I'm not sure it did. I mean, maybe in terms of its like respect, but I don't think it really like sold any consoles.
Yeah, true. Well, at that point, everyone had, you know, everyone's owned a Wii.
Exactly. They already had the system.
So yeah. I mean, that's get pumped for April. That's gonna be really exciting. But still carrying on, we have Super Smash Bros. For 3DS. It's gonna get an Amiibo support update incoming.
Yeah.
No idea when, but. It's imminent.
I thought it was odd how this wasn't already like in the game.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's because with the regular 3DS, they need the adapter for that. Yeah, well,
that's true. But I mean, like Japan had the new 3DS. Wasn't it the same month as Smash Bros?
Yeah, pretty much.
Or shortly afterwards, if not.
I think they're waiting for more of a widespread release because you can't. Pit. Yeah, you're right. You can't pit Amiibo characters online. I forgot. I was thinking, why was it?
Yeah. You know, I just thought, with, how the development of those two games went, I thought it was done in a way that, the code would just be ready for the 3DS.
Yeah.
But no, apparently not. Apparently it's coming soon, but I guess it's good to see it is coming, because we don't have it yet.
That's true.
I thought it might have been one of those things which just kind of got missed and then never talked about ever again because we had it on the Wii U.
Yeah, that's probably one thing we'll take away from this direct. There was a lot of Amiibo talk.
That's the thing that I got basically out of this. It's like you had all these games, but about more than half was dedicated to Amiibo.
Yeah.
And it kind of was a bit concerning. And, you know, we know it's, what was it? Like just recently the NPD stats came out for the holiday season, and obviously, I think it was PlayStation 4 was the best-selling console of November. Xbox One was the best-selling console of December. But no slouch, I think, from the Wii U, they had their best month ever.
Yeah.
I mean, during that short time, Smash Brothers sold 1.5 or 1.7 million. But Amiibo is doubled that. That's how big of a sales it was, just from collectors.
Yeah, I mean, Amiibo is still one of those things I'm not terribly sold on, but...
When people are surprised, why are they so successful? I can give you a simple answer. It's little figurines of Nintendo characters. Of course, they're going to sell off the shelves.
Yeah, I think the real question with Amiibo is going to be, can they keep it up? Not in terms of pumping out figures, but actually keeping people engaged and not burning them out. Wanting them to buy more figures throughout the years. Opposed to just kind of buying the initial Smash characters they like and never touching them ever again.
Well, yeah, because when you see, we've already seen wave four of the new Amiibos are coming in spring, I believe, and we still have another wave to go through, plus the Mewtwo one, if they ever make one. It's you know, actually, here's a thought. Mewtwo might be actually a reward for Club Nintendo. Think about that. Well, not the character, but an amiibo. I'm just putting out there.
Well, the character himself is. But yeah, that's something we can discuss at, I guess, at the end of this
later
show.
Later on. I know we're getting ahead, but it's just
on the amiibo. I was going to say, on the amiibo side of things, I have a small amiibo update on my personal collection. I have recently purchased Marth and Wii Fit Trainer for their regular retail price directly from Nintendo Store. I saw a tweet about it a couple of days ago. Someone just randomly said, Wii Fit Trainers and Marths are available on the Nintendo Store. I thought, oh, that's cool. I mean, you know, no one's had them for absolutely ages, and they, you know, the scalpers have been selling them for silly prices. I went on there, they were both about, like, you know, $10.99 each, you know, much cheaper than games sell them for. So, all right, I'm going to buy both of these, technically being the first two I bought. And then, like, moments later, they were all sold out again.
But luckily the Marth ones are going to be actually restocked
soon.
That
is true, yes.
And I know I have a really interesting amiibo story. Is a roommate of mine, he just recently got a pay raise at work, and he was just feeling a little happy about it. And he went to like a little GameStop, bought a used game, but he also put pre-orders in amiibos. He really likes playing as Ike and Smash Brothers. He also decided to pre-order the Mega Man one for me. He's like, he comes and I was like, I pre-ordered an amiibo for you. He's like, oh really? Which one did you pre-order? He's like, oh, Mega Man. Is like, I already pre-ordered that one through Walmart, man. And he was trying so hard to get a Shulk for me, but you know, the GameStop clerk said, like, I'm sorry, if it's sold out online or anything, we can't do anything about it.
Yeah, I'm gonna be on the lookout for a Shulk. I've not seen any available anywhere for pre-orders. I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still waiting for something really interesting to happen with amiibo before I jump in.
Yeah.
We will see. Moving on. We've got next is on the list is Puzzle and Dragons, the extraordinarily successful puzzle game in Japan, coming out in May. Plus, we have Puzzle and Dragons Super Mario Bros. Edition, also coming out in May.
Yes.
That second one is the interesting one.
No. This whole series intrigues me on there, just the concept alone. It's an RPG, but also its gameplay is based as a puzzle game.
Yes,
that's what kind of is like getting me to that point. I'm like, I really want to check this out. And it wasn't the Super Mario Brothers edition on there that really convinced me. It's just that first title on there is like, you know, I kind of gripped on this concept or something like that. It's one of those things that I'm just like, okay, I'm ready to go, you know, balls deep into this.
Yeah, I think this was a smart decision doing this like bundle, because just to make this slight distinction here, the first of the two games bundled is Puzzle and Dragon Z, which is a game which was launched on the 3DS obviously last year in Japan, turning the puzzle game into like an RPG with the puzzle game in it. They only recently announced that the Super Mario Bros. Edition is coming out in Japan. And so they're both completely separate boxes out over there, but we're getting them all as the one package. And so it's going to be a lot of content for your money. And yeah, I mean, from what I saw of it on the Direct, it actually didn't look too bad.
It looks one of those games that when you start playing it, it's just going to hook its claws into you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just going to be something that you don't, you know, you play continuously for like a week.
Yeah, and it looked like Puzzle and Dragon Z looked like fairly similar to like Puzzle Quest.
That's right, yeah. That's my first thought. I was like,
this is very similar setup, isn't it? That you've got this like match free puzzle game, and then you'll do kind of some RPG type stuff, and then you're playing more puzzles again. But the Mario stuff looked pretty cool as well. Like you could like level up like Goombas and such. That was quite fun.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like clearly Nintendo just helped make the. They gave them the license to use the Mario universe, just basically just trying to raise awareness for this game because.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's huge in Japan, but how well will it sell over here? You know, but obviously you attach Mario to it, and now that increases its chances of success.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a smart decision. I mean, you can't really argue it. But, yeah, so moving on, we have also Codename Steam coming March 13th, which, rather interestingly, they've revealed that it features amiibo support from Fire Emblem characters. specifically Lucina, Ike, Marth, and Robin. So,
which I found interesting when they mentioned Marth as amiibo support, and you before they announced it, like, I can't get Marth. They're like, oh, don't worry, we're giving you Marth right now.
Yeah,
it's like restocking.
So yeah, I mean,
it's very interesting.
You excited for this game or?
No, it's Intelligent Systems, and they did a great job in Fire Emblem, and I'm really interested to see kind of a third person strategy type game actually go pretty well. So maybe we'll see something how it actually comes into it, and I just like the story to it. It's a steampunk, yeah, it's a steampunk crazy type of game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ironically, like the story / theme is like the only piece of this game that I'm not certain of yet. In terms of the mechanics and what I believe the game to be, it looks fantastic. It looks right up my alley. But yeah. I'm sure the other bits aren't really going to bother me too much. But yeah, it looks like an absolutely fantastic game. And I think, yeah, smart use of amiibo here. Bringing in characters who aren't from that universe, I think that should be kind of what amiibo is all about. Because you don't really feel cheated if you don't have them, because they're not they're definitely not part of the experience normally. But yeah, it's a nice crossover there.
But did they mention as far as the Fire Emblem characters into it was it's I guess part of the story. Yeah, it's first game of the series, but it's like it's not part of the story or canon.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. But yeah, so that's that. I mean, that's something I'm gonna keep an eye on for sure. But carrying on, we have also the reveal for not really reveal, everyone knew it was coming, but Ichiro Mystery Dungeon. Now it arrives in spring. This series is quite niche. Have any of you two played an Ichiro Odyssey game?
We played a what?
That's a good answer.
Ichiro Odyssey.
Yeah, okay, I think that's a good enough answer. I've never played, yeah, that's a what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've played the demo of one of them, but I would not be able to confirm which one it was.
So I played the fourth one, the 3DS one. Okay. Not the remake of the first one, but it's the fourth one. It's an interesting RPG. It's all based around cartography. You've got to make your own maps, which is something that I used to do when I was younger. But, the idea of a mystery dungeon game, though, I've never been too particularly into those. But, I mean, I'm sure the fans will go mad for it. But, carry on, we also have a somewhat reboot or spiritual successor, I suppose. Story of Seasons, coming March.
So is this Harvest Moon?
It's technically Harvest Moon, but it's...
Wait, is Atlas doing this one? Or no. Yeah, wasn't Atlas in charge of...
I've lost track.
Or was that Hudson?
No, it was... No, Hudson were in charge of Harvest Moon for a while.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
And now it's Marvelous, I think? I don't know, I can't be sure. But it's an interesting idea, the fact they've had to change the name from Harvest Moon to Story of Seasons, and it's, you know... But hey, if you're interested in farming, go for it. You know, any of you two intrigued about the that particular title?
No, I can't say I am. I'm not saying I would never buy one of those games, but they would have to do something to draw me in. Seem very samey at this point. I played a couple of Harvest Moon games, and I feel that even that was too many, at least for my tastes. But yeah, if one comes out and says that it's doing this particularly interesting thing, then yeah, I would consider it, but I haven't seen anything unique on my side from this one.
Well, yeah, it's I was going to say an interesting concept. It's an interesting concept we've done before. It's a farming simulator. But so yeah, that's that. Next on the list is Pokemon Shuffle. It's a free-to-play game coming February, which another free-to-play game from Nintendo, much like Steel Diver Subwars.
Or Pokemon Trozzi, or whatever the hell that one was called.
Yeah, it did look awfully similar, didn't it?
It did a little bit. So,
yeah, because I saw that and I was like, didn't I buy this one before?
Yeah, it looks very much like a free-to-play version of that game. I don't... Yeah, I didn't play Pokemon Link Battle, as it's known in Europe.
Oh, yeah.
It's I've never played it, so I can't really comment on it. But what I've seen, it looks very similar. So yeah.
I don't have a huge amount to say about this one. I mean, it's interesting that they are doing more free to play stuff. So I guess what their previous attempts haven't like completely like soured the water. Like they do see there is growth there.
The question is though, is Nintendo doing free to play right? I mean, yeah, not to say that free play there was any right way to do it in the past, but are they actually like one of the companies that are doing like, you know, they're doing it in an interesting way, like they did with Rusty's Real Deal Baseball, where you could just haggle Rusty whatever for prices.
Yeah, well, yes, I think so far they've been doing smart approaches. This one seems pretty direct to what you see on mobile. I'd have to get my hands on it, and I'm willing to, you know, when it's out, because obviously you can download it free, you can see how much you will get out of it before it asks you for money and so on. But yeah, from that short glimpse, it does look very similar to mobile setups, where they'll let you play for so long, and then you would either need to buy resources or wait a certain period of time till you can play it some more.
I mean, it's just, to me, it's interesting that they're doing it at Pokemon, a free-to-play game.
That's true.
But so we'll see how that turns out. But carrying on, we have Ace Combat Assault Horizon Legacy Plus. Great title. Which is due February 13th, the same day as the new 3DS comes out. It comes with Amiibo support to unlock new skins for Jets, which, if you've seen them, they're pretty cool. But
a missed opportunity, I feel.
It's true.
Yeah.
Are you still the Star Fox?
It could have been, Decker. Yeah.
And yeah, that was a missed opportunity. I mean, it looked cool because it just literally had a paint of Fox McCloud on the wing. But if only they... Why didn't they just make the plane look like an R-Wing?
Yeah.
That would have been really cool.
Oh, no, yeah, you get it and it's just like, oh, wow, I get to play as an R-Wing in Ace Combat. That's awesome. But am I the only one when they announced it's like, wait, Ace Combat is still a thing?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I've played like the whole series, but I still haven't touched the 3DS one.
Isn't this just the 3DS game which was launched before?
Yeah,
but with Amiibo support, essentially.
I mean, that's how you make money quickly. This game is also. I mean, it's a remake of the second game, so
yeah.
It's a game that I've already played before, so I've always been like, well. I'll stick with it. But yes, I mean, if you're interested in getting some new skins or Jets, there you go. So, yeah, carrying on, we have Fossil Fighters Frontier, which is out 20th of March. I haven't got a whole much to say about this because I have no idea what the series is. Because this is my first time encountering it.
This is popular in Europe or is it in Japan?
Possibly both. I've never played Fossil Fighters. I've actually heard quite favourable things about it, so I'm gonna have to take a closer look at this one. But no, I've had no hands-on impressions with any of these games.
Yeah, I have none. But I mean, from what I see on this one, it's intriguing. But you know, I have to see it a little bit more to actually kind of.
The only thing I can say about it is the fossil mechanic is like Spectrobes.
It does sound quite Spectrobes. I think both the original games came out at similar times, did they not?
That's one of those things.
At least that's how it was painted in my memory.
So, carrying on, we have a new first-person shooter for the 3DS called Ironfall Invasion, which is due out, they just said, early 2015, which could mean any time up to April, really. So...
This sounds like a game that seems tailor-made for the new 3DS as far as having the C-stick on there.
Yeah, that's definitely. Right, yeah. Unless you still got your old... Metroid Prime Hunter's like thumb strap around.
The thumb strap.
that thing.
I wonder if it like supports that and it says on the back of the box like thumb strap enabled.
Yeah, I know. When I tried that demo, I just says, it's like, yeah, you can have analog control with this. Just strap this little nub on here and put on. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I think they pushed that with like, the remake of Mario 64 as well, didn't they? Because you could either play it over the D-pad,
that's right.
Or you could use the touchscreen.
That's right.
As an analog stick. but also, for Ironfall, though, Another small distinction here is technically a third-person shooter. It looks quite similar to Gears of War, in my opinion.
True, yeah, yeah. Technically speaking, it's yeah. I mean, it, again, I'm not a huge shooter person, so I sort of glanced, glossed over this trailer.
It looked surprisingly competent, though. It said it was running at 60 frames as well.
It looked great, and you know, it's just yeah, it just sort of shows you what, you know, the 3DS can do. Great shooter action.
Yeah,
it's brilliant.
And seeing as there like is no competition, I don't think. I reckon it could have like a surprisingly good online community with this game.
Yeah, there's not. But is any other first or third person shooters, are there?
Yeah, I mean, the closest thing is like the multiplayer mode in Kid Icarus Uprising.
Oh, sure, yeah, that's true.
Technically, also a third person shooter, but still, I imagine very different.
Yeah, so that pretty much wraps it up for 3DS news, and so now we're going to move on to the Wii U.
Before we do move on, I just to summarise on this quickly, I think it's good how like so much 3DS information we've got here in terms of like release dates coming soon and such, because I was honestly getting a little worried on the 3DS front, because they had been talking a lot about Wii U recently and not a lot about 3DS. I was thinking, have they just pulled all their resources completely over to the Wii U? What happened previously. So it's just good to be reassured here that there are games in the pipeline, and quite a few coming quite soon.
Exactly. That's the best thing about it. I mean, it's I wasn't concerned about 3DS at all, because I knew that Fire Emblem Monster 4 was in the works, so that kept me happy. But so Wii U news. To kick off things, we were showing more footage of Splatoon, which is always nice. They showed off the Central Plaza area, which looks like that's how you select your game mode.
Yeah,
it seems like that's how you, you know,
single player. Wait, which isn't in real time. It's not like that's what I'm getting the impression of, that like, no. That whole plaza area where you can actually meet with people, like for Matt, it's like it's not real time.
I think it's the Nintendo Land Plaza, essentially.
Yeah.
I was getting deja vu and I was wondering, where have I seen this before? Then after the show, I realised, wait a minute, that's Nintendo Land with squids.
Squid people.
That makes it's like, you don't get around with that. You reskinned it.
Yeah, technically. I mean, but hey, I mean, if it works.
Yeah, but then they also did, like, really announce a whole bunch of new details we didn't know about Splatoon. Was like, they also went on about, like, the... Like the customization, they confirm that of
true,
the characters.
Yeah, it's very much similar to it's very like Mario Golf style customization. What you wear changes your abilities, and it changes. You can have unique weapons and sub weapons, and
yeah. And I think the customization with like the stat differences, I think that's gonna be great with a competitive shooter, like especially this one that Nintendo's designing. So I imagine that's going to be a big incentive of playing more to get more coins, like to get the gear you want to help you get other gear, like kind of in a like not some kind of way, but obviously very like slim down.
Yeah.
But I think that's cool. And yeah, as you were saying about the weapons, they come in the different packs, so they kind of seem to be like a parallel to like the different loadouts you'd get into other shooters.
Right.
So it looks like they've been, you know.
They clearly thought this out.
Yeah,
it's great to have like a competitive third person shooter.
Yeah,
yeah, that's unique from the competitors what they have.
Yeah,
Yeah. The more footage we see from this, the more I'm impressed. And the only concern I have with it is it's single player only campaign where they do like. I wonder how that actually is going to be rolled out if it's not just like an afterthought, because obviously the selling point for this is going to be online.
Yeah,
but. More I see out of this, I'm fairly interested in how this, and I'm hoping it becomes probably the next great, you know, Nintendo made like multiplayer title.
Yeah, well, that's what they always tend to showcase when they show trailers for this game. Is the online multiplayer, and then, there is a single player campaign, but then they don't talk about it. It's just there
and
is
they've
one.
Mentioned before, but they've never shown anything or really talked about it in any sort of detail. There's that they did say there would be some sort of local multiplayer to it.
Yeah. Which
they've never detailed since. Whether it's something which doesn't make the cut or not, but they definitely mentioned it previously.
You've got to think how that works.
Exactly, because they've been talking more and more about like gamepad-specific stuff in the game.
Yeah.
They detailed one of the special weapons on this involves you basically touching the map on the touchscreen, and that's where a missile flies off to and blasts. But obviously you also like touch your teammates to like jump straight to them. There's a lot of cool uses for the touchscreen, which makes great sense in online. But if you're doing it local, then it's either going to not work symmetrically, which may be the point, or, and crazy prediction here, maybe this is time for the second gamepad. Maybe they can do some sort of bundle to help promote both Splatoon and get some extra gamepads out there for something else they got in the pipeline.
Maybe. I don't know. I really don't know.
With how soon that game's coming, though, it's a very unlikely one to go into fruition, but don't know. I reckon it's either that or they cut the local multiplayer that they briefly mentioned back on the E3 when they showed it.
Yeah, I don't think I might have quietly took it out back and shown it the door. Yeah. But yeah, so that's due out in May, which is...
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I mean,
it is, before E3, so...
Yeah, I mean, great. So next up, there's a next batch of DLC for Hyrule Warriors coming out on February the 5th. Now, I saw this trailer, I was like, hey, looking forward to this. And then they showed Tingle. And I was a little bit disappointed.
It's odd that basically Eiji Onoma said that they did not want to put Tingle into this one.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Wasn't that quite recent as well?
Yeah, he's like, oh, Tingle's not going to be in this game, we can't have him. I was like, okay. So they wanted to use more varied characters, and they always thought, oh, Tingle, but that never worked out. But now he is going to be in it, and it's just, oh, I don't know. It's not going to be one of those characters I play as often.
Maybe he's like preparing his like level of trolling to like try and get the role of the next Smash director.
Maybe.
But yeah, the timing's way too close. He obviously knew Tingle was in the game at that point.
He must have been.
It must just have been really old. Nah, he still probably would have known.
So basically when Eiji Onoma says that there's not going to be voice acting in the new Zelda game, that there actually is going to be?
But didn't he also say that he wanted to feature the Hyrule motorcycle in one of his games? The one which is in Mario Kart.
That would be...
I don't know how that's going to work.
No, well, maybe DLC.
Unless it's another huge trolling move and he's actually directing to the next Mario Kart.
That would be interesting. That would be something. But,
next Mario Kart, which will feature an hour-long tutorial.
This is how you turn a corner. Turn a corner now.
It would make the goat herding a lot quicker, to be fair.
This is a blue shell. You will hate this.
Yeah. Beware the blue shell. So Tingle's been announced as a new character. And Young Link, who, when I saw what moveset he has, it looks a way more interesting character because he has the ability to use all the masks that he has in Majora's Mask, which is nice. And he obviously
has... Your DD mask is in there. It's good.
Well, he's ultimate. Special is he puts on the fierce deity and swings a giant sword, so yes, that's fantastic. And there's also a brand new adventure map and three new costumes. But one of them's because they showed you the silhouette of what they're going to be, and it's like, well, one of them's Skull Kid, you can tell that, you know, just by looking at it. But the other two I weren't sure about, so I'd be quite interested to see what they are. But does that make him a return to Hyrule Warriors, do you think?
Oops, sorry, I missed that.
would that make you want to return to Hyrule Warriors? And...
Hopefully so, because I've got the season pass. But I've not actually returned to it as much as I was hoping to. But yeah, this will. Okay. I paid for it, so might as well.
How about you, Harrison?
This, I, I was going to talk about a little bit about Hyrule Warriors, even though I finished it about a week ago, but I just don't have it, I don't have that urge to buy the DLC. I just don't. I mean, I had the urge to buy it from Mario Kart just because it included new tracks. If it was new characters, I really wouldn't have cared, but tracks, I'm like, okay, yeah, it's fine. But this one, I'm like, I may be swayed around, but
yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, it's perfectly understandable. But, yeah, so I mean, that's the DLC Fire Wars. So next up, we have Kirby and the Rainbow Curse, which is going to be released February 20th.
I think at a discounted rate, too.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, I think it's in the Toad price range.
Yeah, which is, I mean, that's understandable, though, I would say.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't seem to be a hugely deep type game. Yeah, it's not...
Well, not deep, but also the fact that like, it's something that you could possibly complete in a few hours, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I loved Kirby and the Canvas Curse for my original DS, and I'm just glad to actually see a spiritual successor to this.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
and it's another cool use of the gamepad as well, so it'll be good to actually, you know, play a big touchscreen game on the thing, you know, having used that controller for so long.
That's right.
Yeah, it'll be good to get that particular use out of it. But yeah, I'm very much looking forward to this game. And I'm hoping, like many other Kirby games, it has lots of replayability and things to collect and reasons to let you play some more.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. Again, I'm not the biggest Kirby fan, but even I'm sort of intrigued by it, I suppose. Because it's just a game, like you said, that finally will use the gamepad, like, almost strictly.
And hey, claymation.
Yeah, exactly. It's got an interesting art style, so.
Claymation Kirby.
Yeah.
Coming soon. In a series new.
February 20th, so. Yeah, coming up. So, next up, we have Mario Party 10, which they showed it off. It's got a brand new amiibo mode, which is nice. Plus, there's going to be a brand new line of amiibo based on the Super Mario series. Which
I noticed on the notes you say new amiibo mode showed, take a bow.
I've already taken my bow.
Yeah, Lewis predicted this a while back, saying that the next big amiibo game will be Mario Party 10. And you was correct.
Yeah, to be honest, I was throwing wild predictions around amiibos and Mario Party. That so I got one of them, but I was suggesting other things as well, like of the Smash characters you place on the game should turn into characters. That hasn't turned out to be true.
No, but yeah, it's still cool. I mean, it's still
yeah,
yeah. Again, it's an interesting idea that a mode just for amiibos. Yeah. So next up, we have Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, which has an update incoming to provide amiibo support.
And what glorious feature will take advantage of this amiibo support?
It just makes a little pixelated toad appear in a level, and then you have to find it. I mean, it's not the most exciting use.
No, I mean, is it confirmed? Did it even like actually detect that you've saw it, or is it just like a little play box, like, and it's.
Like, yeah.
And it's just like a goodwill system. Like, you just get, you know, you go out of the mode when you find him and jump to the next stage.
Yeah, I got a feeling it'll be that.
Or do you have to, like, maybe you have to touch him on the touchscreen or something? Or, I don't know.
I don't. It's kind of a lazy idea for.
Yeah, it's an odd one. I mean, I'm wondering, like, how many stages, if they do this. They might even do this of every single stage, because just, like, how insignificant it must be to hide a little toad.
Yeah.
In these already created stages. And if it is all of them, I mean that's a chunk of stuff to do. Whether that's good use of your time or not is another question.
Yeah, it just seems a bit tacked on, just so you can have amiibo.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can claim to have amiibo support for Captain Toad.
Yeah, and it also seems like the fact that it only works with the Toad amiibo. And, like, that's the only game that Toad Amiibo works with. It seems like the original idea that they were trying to sell us about Amiibo was, like, the figures all, you know, they work across lots of different games. So you buy one figure and it'll work with, you know, all these different things. And it'll give you all these different functions. Yeah. Where it seems, although I guess technically he works with Mario Party as well. if you want to use or to get the feature out of Captain Toad, you need to go out and buy a specific amiibo. And at that point, why isn't it just like DLC? I mean, it kind of loses that unique thing about amiibo.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It, like we talked before, I'm just trying to figure out what these figures can do aside from this, hey, here's an added thing because you have this $13 amiibo, even though we could sell this as DLC and buying the figurine. But I think it would have to probably... I mean, it's almost as like Nintendo's trying to do... It's almost like a double-edged sword here with amiibo. It's like you could get the stuff without it or you could with it. But in a sense, they're aside from maybe leveling up a character like that, there really is another instance for it aside from just, hey, it's a shelf decoration.
Yeah. I mean, it's things like the Link amiibo providing you with a new weapon in Hyrule Warriors. I as soon as I heard that, I was kind of questioning that. Why couldn't that just be DLC? So everybody could get it. But you have to have the Link or two Link amiibo to unlock that feature. It's just odd. But, yeah.
However, I mean, on the positive side, although this isn't, in my opinion, a good use of amiibo, it's kind of the more the merrier. Because the more uses they put in, no matter how big or small, it all kind of adds up. And so collectively, amiibo is more valuable if there's like a dozen games to support it, or even more further down the line. so hopefully they just chuck little uses here and there. And yeah, you will in theory be able to pick a random figure and get a whole bunch of different use out of it. But yeah, it will be interesting to see how it goes.
I mean, if they add amiibo support into this next game we're going to mention, I will cry. But the next game is Xenoblade Chronicles X has a new trailer.
Ooh.
Which looks incredible.
It's pretty.
But there's still no release date, though.
But they have improved the jumping.
They have improved the jumping animations, though.
They have improved the jumping animation.
They've improved jumping. Wait, I haven't really heard your guys' gripes about the jumping animations. Were they just bad in previous trailers, or was it just...
I'm just talking about, not in previous trailers, but in the previous game. It just seemed the jump was very perfunctory. Like it, I don't know why. Like again, most RPGs don't have a jump button, because why would you? They're not games you do platforming in. But Xenoblade Chronicles did, but it was just really weird, kind of floaty jump. And I think Sakurai actually took some humour out of that in his reveal trailer as well.
Yeah, reveal trailer was for shock.
Yeah, it looks a little bit more natural now, which is good to see. Especially how it's actually being used to like jump chasms and stuff. Which looks really cool.
but this trailer we saw with this one, it was dubbed the exploration trailer, which was no combat, but we did introduce with a previous scene. In the Nintendo Treehouse live events in E3, you know, the beginning where it shows one of those Ark ships crashing on the planet Mira, which is our place that we're doing on there. The game's taking place at, and the more I see trailers of this game, it's no wonder why this is my most anticipated game of 2015.
Oh, yeah, it looks incredible. I mean, it's just going to be... it's going to be so good when it comes out. But
oh, and Japan's getting it in April, supposedly.
Oh, but yeah, it's just... I'm assuming that they're not going to show off a release date until after Xenoblade Chronicles 3D comes out.
Maybe, because I get... Well, there's a guarantee here. We'll be getting a direct solely... dedicated to this game when the time comes. But news did, because Monolithsoft has a Twitter account, but it's just, there's no English counterpart to it, so it's all Japanese. But dedicated fans were able to translate it, and later this week, I think it was like yesterday prior to this recording, English localization for it has begun.
Yeah, that's right.
So question for you, Colin, is when they announce that the Shulk amiibo unlocks Shulk in this game, will it be your first amiibo purchase? Or will not buying any further Nintendo products from then on? Because I think they're your two choices.
That's pretty diverse. It's an interesting idea. It all depends on, is it actually a new character in the game? Do you get to level up and, you know, having a team? If so, yeah, great. If it's just a NPC that you talk to, you know, it depends.
Yeah, well, they don't want to go that drastic. I guess a cool touch could be, if, say, you used a Shulk Amiibo, you got a, like, a Monado-looking weapon or something like that.
No, if you got the Monado, it'd be great, but they're looking...
Well, yeah, I mean, that, like, I mean, it just kind of breaks the universe as much as putting the Shulk in the game. If you say, oh, you have the Monado now.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, maybe you just have, like, a Monado replica or something, like, to keep it in story.
Yeah.
But it's still looking cool. Well, but maybe something like that could go down.
Technically, the Monado actually makes an appearance in the E3 trailer from last year.
Have I missed it completely?
In one of the trailers, when I think one of the characters are in those mechs, which are called dolls, one of the female characters, there's a hairpin on there, and it's in the shape.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
The ultimate weapon, a hairpin. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. We'll have to see. Although I doubt they'll do anything with Amiibo support.
Why would you be... You seriously would be that upset if there was Amiibo support for this?
I would be upset. It'd just be, I'd be kind of... I don't know. It's not really what I would expect Amiibo support to be in, that
yeah,
sort of game.
I know where you're coming from.
It's just...
It kind of feels like a pure experience because it's its own thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, that's the Black Rockers X. Look forward to that. So, next up we have... This is interesting news. Wii games are coming to the Wii U.
You don't say.
Yeah.
I thought I could play them backwards compatible either way.
Yeah. That's the odd thing that struck me. I was like, couldn't it play them regardless? But no, due to their apparent rarity, they're going to release certain titles digitally on the eShop. So, okay.
Okay.
I mean... So the first up for the game that's coming out is Super Mario Galaxy 2, which is the first game to be released. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, sorry, I let you go.
Going down more on this list, I understand some of this because they're trying to get around the limitations of going through the Wii Channel just to play, you know, Wii games.
Yeah.
So, but to offer, I mean, just not a lot. I mean, just select titles for this. For it to actually be downloaded. And here's the thing that actually enticing is that these originally priced are $20, but for the first week they're half off.
Yeah. So I mean you get some great games at an incredible price, so it's enticing.
Yeah, one of them which I'm glad I'm able to actually play, and that's the other one, because you know, Mario Galaxy 2 was available right after the Direct.
That's right.
And we're going to get Punch-Out about a week later.
Yep.
And then the one that just brightened my day, I was thinking like there's not going to be a mention of Metroid at all in this Direct, but there was the Metroid Prime Trilogy, which, of course, you know, goes for quite of a hefty price online.
Yeah, well, it's like every case that says like limited edition, because the game was like, they had a very limited run. It's just like... Every game is limited edition. And I'm excited to be able to... go through Metroid Prime Trilogy.
Which means, ironically, this version will also be the limited edition version. So when you load it up, it will still say limited edition.
Yeah.
If that was infused on the title screen, I'm not entirely sure, but if it was, it still will be.
That's just, yeah, it's crazy.
You know, here's my confusion with this right now. When you buy these certain Wii titles, they're only compatible with the Wiimote and the Nunchuck, right?
That's right, yeah, that doesn't change.
Yeah, it
doesn't change. I could have swore you could play off-TV play with these.
Yeah, I think Super Mario Galaxy 2 you can play.
On this one was, and it's weird how they announced it, because they said games which support the classic controller will be able to be controlled with the gamepad for the first time. But none of these games use the use the classic controller.
Yeah, because Metroid Prime Trilogy is also you aim with the Wii Remote.
And same with Punch-Out, that was just Wii Remote sideways or Wii Remote and Nunchuck.
That's right.
Obviously, Galaxy 2, no classic controller options. So they've obviously got other titles planned for this, whereas they wouldn't have let that slip. But what I'm kind of annoyed about, amongst all this good news, is because these technically just boot up in Wii mode. It just saves you from pressing that Wii button. So you don't have access to like the Wii U stuff when you press the home button, which means that they figured out how to use the gamepad as a controller in that mode, and they've got it locked away for these purchases.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, they're just standalone apps on the Wii U menu, so that's itself.
Oh, yeah, true. But, I mean, what it's actually doing is launching Wii Mode automatically and going straight into the game. And so it all happens when it's on that on the Wii hardware part of the Wii U console. So it's left the Wii U mode and gone into Wii Mode. And so they've cracked in Wii Mode how to use the gamepad. At least is how I'm interpreting the information.
Yeah, because the information wasn't given out in such a clear and concise way. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, unless the game is actually technically modified to recognize the controller, but if they were doing that, then I'd imagine they would have added it into like Galaxy 2 and so on.
Yeah.
Now, does anybody find this odd that these are coming out here and we still don't have GameCube games?
Yeah, the GameCube support. There's the idea of the virtual consoles all over the place at the moment.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know, well, aside from these three mentioned Wii games, I think another that is going to be on the way is Sin and Punishment Star Successor.
Yeah.
Unless that's just for Europe.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's exclusive or not, but what was the... There was one of the Operation Rainfall games, I think, was on there as well. I can't remember...
Pandora's Tower? Or...
Yeah, I think Pandora's Tower is also on the European list. Which, if so, there's a good selection of games there, because there's a bunch of games on that list which I was always meaning to pick up but never did. So I'll happily download them, especially for the half-price promotion.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting...
Is $20 reasonable even at original price? Yeah, $10 for the first week is fine. You know, a steal for Metroid Prime Trilogy.
Yeah, and for like the rare ones as well, like Pandora's Tower, for example. I haven't double checked, but I wouldn't be surprised if it costs a fair bit more than that to get a physical copy.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it will. Yeah, so that's Wii games going to Wii U. So
your question, Harrison, about whether the $20 figure is too much, I guess, when these are standard price. I guess, obviously, we're looking at Metro Prime Trilogy, and it looks a steal, and I think they've deliberately put it in that initial lineup. But yeah, when you're looking at the other games, like, if you miss that half-price promotion, like Punch-Out for $20, you can find that cheaper. You know?
Yeah, you can.
Galaxy 2, you can find that cheaper.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So it's tricky. Because they're great games, they're big games. You get a lot of stuff for your money, but it does play the old discs, so do go hunting around. Unless you really like prioritize having that digital app on there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a slightly odd decision, but there you go. That's what Nintendo decided. Next up, we have a new game, brand new game, which is rather nice, by Namco Bandai, called Project Treasure.
Wow.
They can't tell us what it's called. That's the tentative title. but it comes from Harada, who is the Tekken producer, which was interesting. I thought, he's working on a project that's not Tekken.
Yeah, I think this was quite an intense announcement.
Yeah, because of the way it was shown.
When it was called Project Treasure, I just assumed like we're getting a Zack and Wiki sequel.
Well. That'd be nice, but
it would be. But I mean, we had a very odd glimpse of the game, and it just appeared to be the lips of four, I'm assuming, characters from the game. None of those lips, unfortunately, look like the lips of Zack or Wiki. I don't think that is the case. I don't know. It kind of, as odd as it is to say, it kind of reminded me of like a fighting game lineup potentially. But I don't know what they're doing with this. They said it was like a four player. What did they call it? Was it action game, did they just say? Or
I think it's an action base.
Or did they say co-op?
Action based treasure or something like that. Maybe
it's four player online.
Yeah.
So loot is going to be involved in this, so...
Pretty much.
Oh, and obviously the important factor is it's free to play.
Free to play.
I just missed that.
I mean...
And exclusive.
Yeah, it's always nice. But it's... Other games, always nice.
That and nice to see Nintendo collaborating with more studios to... put more titles out there.
Yeah, And so it's one of those ones we have to like keep an eye on because find out more about it. But so next up we have Mario vs. Donkey Kong Tipping Stars, which is due out March 5th for Wii U and 3DS. And if you buy one version, you will get a download code for the other, which is quite nice. But I don't know you guys, but I never played a Mario vs. Donkey Kong game.
I haven't, and I loved, I mean, even though the precursor to this was, you know, Donkey Kong 94 on the Game Boy. So,
yeah.
The thing that was very interesting about this was the fact that if you buy one version, you'll get a download code for the other version, you know, 3DS or Wii U and vice versa. Now, do I see that as a kind of a future thing they might be doing with other games?
It's almost like a cross-buy promotion.
It is almost, isn't it? I feel this is them testing the waters.
It's got to be.
It's definitely a positive move. I think, you know, they got the kind of wishing they had a proper way they could do this at this point. Because I saw some, people wondering, are these codes going to be, tied to your particular console and so on? But on the European Nintendo Direct, they explicitly said, obviously, you can use it for your 3DS if you bought the Wii U one, but if you don't want to do that, you can just give the code to a friend and they can download it on their system.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Right,
up front said that. You can just give that extra code away to someone with the other system to you. I'm thinking this is like them at least kind of trying to align towards some sort of proper cross-buy scheme. But it's Nintendo. It could just be a weird promotion for this game. There's a lot more people paying attention to Tripping Stars than there would be otherwise if they hadn't said this little bit about the game. In terms of the title of the game, and they were saying that's a reference to because you can create your own levels and share them, and if you play a particularly good one, you can tip the creator of that game stars, which they can then use to... That's where it got a bit more messy, in my opinion. I think, buy more stuff to make extra levels?
To make more elaborate levels.
Yeah. Sounds interesting. I'm wondering if people who make the good levels will just have, so many, stars that they just can't use because they've bought all the stuff, but people keep tipping them because it's on the top of the popular list. So it also makes me think, maybe this is something which they're also putting into Mario Maker.
It seems like this could be a prototype.
Didn't we hear anything about Mario Maker in the last this past direct? I forget.
No, nope. I don't think we did.
They didn't say anything about it. It was just another game that was omitted, rather strangely. But that's basically it for the Nintendo Direct.
Can I get another sneaky bit of the Mario vs. Donkey Kong game, this was initially shown off as a Nintendo Web Framework demo before it was technically announced as a proper game coming out. And then when they announced it, they said it was the Nintendo Web Framework game. However, this was all around when they had the Wii U version. This is the first time we've heard of the 3DS version.
That's right, yeah.
And so we can only assume, because it's the same game, that is also running on the Nintendo Web Framework, which, to at least my understanding, would be a first. So in a roundabout way, has Nintendo announced that the Web Framework is coming to the 3DS? And if so, that's potentially an exclusive. That's definitely what it's looking like. And so if so, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, people who are making games on the Nintendo Web Framework, currently for the Wii U, may be able to make said games to the 3DS in the future, potentially. But we'll have to wait and see what happens on that one. And that's all information I saw on the Nintendo Direct.
Sorry I got cut off on the phone on here, but just what I was talking about is just how Amiibo just dominated the entire thing on there. There was obviously a couple other titles that were kind of missing, just an update on Devil's Third, where was Yoshi's Woolly World, and of course Mario Maker. We'll definitely be having another Direct soon. My point is probably near the end of spring.
Yeah, we usually get one like every 2 months or so. So yeah, I mean, I'll be excited to see what they unveil next time. But overall, I thought this direct was a fairly okay direct. I mean, we got a new Fire Emblem game announced, and you know, things like that.
Got more Splatoon details, which kept Lewis happy.
Yeah.
Speaking of Fire Emblem, we still don't know anything about Fire Emblem X Shin Megami Tensei.
I thought that's what this was originally.
That's gone like quiet ever since it was first announced. It was like they showed the trailer for that game. Oh, it's gonna be amazing.
Well, you have to think about it. When that direct happened about this time 2 years ago. Yeah. You know, Nintendo was in panic mode. They decided, you know, showed their cards pretty much really early. And what in turn though, a lot of those titles kind of became, and I'm using this term loosely, like I said, vaporware. I mean, but we're getting those titles now. It's just we're waiting so long for them.
Just still waiting for that, though. I mean, the Fire Emblem Cross Shin Megami Tensei game, I mean, as a concept, it's baffling. But it's, I just hope they haven't quietly shown that one the door, you know. It's just like, yeah, this isn't working anymore. We're just going to, you know, get rid of it and no one's going to know. But, as baffling a concept as it was, it could have been interesting. But I guess we'll find out another time.
Yeah, I guess so. Just to close the direct stuff off, the direct made me a lot more optimistic about the new 3DS as well. I like how they lined it all up for February 13th, both in America and Europe. Getting new 3DS, we're getting Majora's Mask, Monster Hunter, even Iron Fall Invasion looked pretty cool. I'll probably download that, to be honest. Ace Combat as well is coming out same day. Probably won't be getting that, but it's nice to see they've aligned all this stuff. It wasn't just like they had their dates lined up on a dartboard last year and they chucked it out and it just said, oh, we're releasing it next year, you know, outside of Japan. It's good that it's given a proper launch. I'm looking forward to launch day next month. It's exciting times.
That's that wraps up for the direct. So next up, we have some rather sad Club Nintendo news. And the sad news is the service is closing.
But it's going to be replaced.
It is going to be replaced with an alternative loyalty program, which is rather interesting. It's sometime later in 2015,
They had mentioned, I know it's probably different for Europe and Japan and the Americas, but from what they told me, I think it's we have until the end of March to claim, surveys and points or coins or stars, whatever, coins here in America. And let's just say today it was really wacky right now as far as in terms of how the service was, because I've had screen caps of people telling me, like, when they're trying to register a game, their coin atollment, whatever, showed negative, and some that their coins were just all right gone. But and this is a side note right now, I should have been telling right now when this past fall, instead of the little pamphlets inside the retail games of Nintendo games for Club Nintendo, and they put them inside the cover.
Yeah,
I should have knew something was like that. It's so frustrating to actually just pull that back and just write everything down. But I digress. And but this makes me think, like, no, I'm about maybe 50 coins away from platinum. I have about maybe 900 coins saved up. And they did promise, like, because they showed the rewards for this upcoming month, but they said they're going to be putting more physical rewards on there soon. And the digital rewards are up there until June. So my point is, will we still get a gold or platinum awards this year, even when the service ends?
That'd be interesting, because we don't get those over here. So what time do those usually roll around, as it were?
In here, the Club Nintendo year usually ends in mid-July.
Okay.
But, and this brings back to my Mewtwo thing. Yeah. It's like, you're already getting Mewtwo DLC, and I'm thinking, what perfect way for just a Platinum Award would be a Mewtwo amiibo?
It seems perfectly reasonable.
It is, but I can understand this service coming to an end, because if they're going to reboot this in vain, like in lieu of, well, not in lieu, but almost in the same vein as like the PlayStation Plus network, you know, where you kind of like have a paid subscription to have this loyalty program. But then again, I'm thinking, will Nintendo go that route to have a subscription-based program to get all these types of goods? Because it's I think I understand how them shipping all these physical goods is a bit tiring, is a bit, you know, a struggle sometimes,
yeah,
and just keeping up in stock. Yet if they do reboot, once they do reboot this, I have to say, no more surveys, please. No more surveys.
Yeah, well, I think the reason for the closure is probably just, it's just not a profitable side of their business. They're getting people going out and buying extra games so they can get extra coins and stars to get extra physical goods. I think it's purely a matter of, it doesn't affect their, people's buying habits. It's just at the end of the year or whatever, they, you know, they do all their surveys and they redeem their physical goods and such. And so Nintendo's paying for the production and the shipping of these things, which they're not necessarily getting any extra money from.
Yeah.
So I think what they might do is, I think they've seen the response they had from the deluxe, the digital deluxe promotion. And I mean, I assume it was a lot more effective for them to run. It's obviously all digital goods. It was all vouchers towards their own games. And something that Iwata mentioned some point last year, I think it was, or it might have been the year before now, was that they wanted to reward people who purchased more of their games by giving them greater discounts. And that's similar to how he worded it. So I think the new system might be kind of an extension of the Digital Deluxe promotion, which is essentially, the more games you buy, they will either just let you buy games for cheaper, or they'll give you codes, or something along that line. It's just buying more Nintendo games will let you buy more Nintendo games for cheaper, and just kind of fueling this vicious circle. But to be fair, I think that if that is true,
a smart business plan,
and also it's the best thing for people who like Nintendo games. You can't complain about that.
No,
I mean, it's nice to get some physical goods as gifts, but you're in it for the Nintendo games. So if they're going to let you get more Nintendo games for a better deal, then yeah, sounds good.
Well, not only that, you had to look at just the program itself, Club Nintendo. I mean, it's running off an old just business model from like the Wii and DS day, like the Wii and, you know, DS days. It's really kind of outdated in a sense now. So I don't blame them for wanting to change the system, like change a new loyalty program.
Yeah, and hopefully, when they do roll this out, not only will it be linked to the Nintendo Network ID, opposed to a separate account, that you, in theory, be able to do all this from your consoles. If they make this, like, the new standard, put a, whatever this is going to be called, I guess the previous Nintendo Deluxe promotion, so it's just like the Nintendo Deluxe plan or whatever. An app for that on the Wii U and an app for it on the 3DS, and make it all sync. So you just go in there, and you can get your code. It wouldn't even be a code. You just tap on it, and it would just add to your credit, sort of thing.
That'd be the ideal. So instead of that, you know, registration card you get in game cases or anything like that, you just get a little, a card again, but that you could tap on like the Wii U gamepad.
Yeah,
that'd be great, you know, and all the new 3DS, which has, you know, NFC support built in as well. So
yeah, but they can also just like take advantage of like the notifications on both those systems, and when it sees that you've got enough points to redeem like credit, that it lets you know, and then you can tap that button. You see you've got the credit, and that might promote you, or prompt you, you know, to add some more of your own money in there to buy a game with the discount. Yeah, I think it could work really well for them.
Yeah, so obviously there's another plus side. This is Flipnote Studio 3D will be free for existing members,
which is an odd way to like re-announce that game still exists.
Yeah, it is a very strange way. It's like, oh, don't forget, you know, we announced this a while ago, but look, it's still alive.
That's a distraction technique if I've ever seen one.
Yeah.
By so let's way, go for Nintendo's already. Closing. Look, Flipnet Studios over here.
Yeah.
No. I'm sure they're probably last year into the result, like a Club Nintendo reward. Just imagine, it's like, oh yeah, here's Mother 3 with a local translation. I swear, Club Nintendo's website would just burn to the ground as far as its servers would just be fried.
So yeah, let's go through the specifics here. So in North America, you can earn coins through to the end of March. Your ability to create an account closes also at the end of March, which create an account then.
I guess there could be people out there who have like loads and loads of codes who've never bothered to create an account and redeem them, yeah. And they could have just been shafted if Nintendo just came out and said, "Yep, we're closing the service today."
Well, yeah, exactly. At least you get some sort of formal.
Exactly. Yeah.
I went full on just like putting games on there, and I tried to put Rayman Legends on there, even though it didn't come with a pamphlet, and I just like, oh yeah, just use the barcode. And I could have swore that could be redeemed.
Yeah.
Did it not work?
No, it didn't. I did the barcode and it did not work.
Oh, that's a shame. But so lastly, you can redeem coins until the end of June. There you go. For Europe, though, I think they're quite more specific about Europe. So April Fool's Day, you can no longer include product registration with its packaged games. So there's no more code you have to scratch off to input into the survey menu. April 20th, termination of the registration of digital products downloaded from the Nintendo eShop. That's quite a mouthful. And then quite a way later, September 30th is the actual end of Club Nintendo. For Europe, it's happening quite close to the end of the year, actually. So yeah, that's basically the Club Nintendo news, and with that is the end of the show. As always, we are looking for your questions and comments, always, which you can send to us at contact@infendo.com, or if you're listening in the browser, you can scroll down and enter your comments into the comment box. Thank you very much for listening. See you later.
Later, everybody.
Catch you next time.
Bye-bye.